But it's certainly good to be back this Sunday morning. Last Sunday we were in Pigeon Forge. We went to CYC with the church in Henderson, and about 12,000 young people involved in CYC over the course of the weekend. So much so that even the new convention center there in Pigeon Forge couldn't hold us all. And so some of us had to sit around the outside of the convention center on the concrete. There were that many people there. So it was a great event, very good lessons. Unfortunately, we missed Saturday evening. We were singing, and we had one of those song leaders that likes to stand and sit and stand and sit. And so we stood and sat about three times, and the final time, Jonathan's leg kind of popped. And we're trying to go for a record to see how many of our family members can go on a church trip and attend the ER. And so far, we're two for two. Trenton, we're hoping we'll break our streak and never have to do that. But we got to go to the ER, and hopefully this Wednesday we'll find out exactly what's wrong, as he will have an MRI on his knee. Hopefully he'll just have to go to the physical therapist, and they can just twist it a whole bunch of different ways and get it back right. But we'll find out, hopefully, this week. Larry texted me yesterday and said that he had the flu and would be unable to be with us today. And so as much as we miss seeing Larry, if he has the flu, we would just as soon him keep it to himself. He can be selfish with that. And so we hope he has a speedy recovery and will be back with us next week. We got new devotional sheets for this week. If you haven't grabbed one, you can grab one on the way out. Also, there's a folder that contains all of the sheets. If you've missed any and want to add them to your folder, feel free to grab them while you're back there. So we'll have one of each, of at least one of each of every week that we've had so far. I hope those have been going well. Feedback would be great. If you like them, feedback would be great. If you don't like them, feedback would be appreciated, I guess. But I hope they have been beneficial. I hope the plan, the ideas that we spend just a few minutes together talking about God and talking about religious things every day, I hope that's been good. And if you'd like to see something different or like to have some suggestions there, please see me and please let me know. Open your Bibles to Matthew 13. Matthew 13 is where we spent this week talking about a few different things in the parables. Jesus taught in parables here. It made it easier to teach about the kingdom when Jesus used these stories. It made it simpler to get his point across than to just simply come right out and say what he really meant. And some of the stories had some pretty deep meaning. Some of the stories are very personal. And so Jesus would use these stories to send a very spiritual message. And he would use very common everyday things. Some would have taken offense, quite frankly, at what Jesus was saying. Had they really got the message of what Jesus was saying without having to kind of think through the story, they might have got offended at what Jesus was saying, especially when you think about some of the parables that he told. One such parable here is the parable of the sower. And that's what we looked at this week. And so as we look at Matthew chapter 13, we begin there in verse 1 where it says, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Jesus didn't always explain his parables. And in many of his parables, most of his parables are left for us to catch the meaning, for us to think through and to consider what he's saying. This parable, however, is unique, as also the parable of the weeds that is contained here in Matthew 13 as well, in that Jesus gives the explanation. And if we look at verse 18, it says that, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Jesus takes the parable and he breaks it down into what he's really wanting us to see and hear. And he talks about people hearing the message of God and hearing the word and how they respond to that word. You had different types of soil. And those different types of soil represent those who are presented with the gospel, presented with the message, presented with what God has in store. There's the path. The one who doesn't understand. There's the rocky. There's no root. There's the thorns with too many concerns. And then there's the good soil that's ready to receive with gladness. And so as we study through those, the question is, what type of soil are we? Now, as we come here this morning, we come here understanding that the majority of us here have at one point at least been good soil. We have obeyed the gospel. We heard the word. It was planted in our hearts. We were moved to obey that gospel to become a Christian and to let that seed grow. But it's important for us to not just have that one moment. You know, soil has the ability to be good and then to be contaminated. For seed to grow really well, but then maybe the ground is not as fertile and maybe it's not where it should be, and what's growing is not as good as it could be. So this morning when we ask the question, what type of soil are we, that's a common. That's where are we right now? Where are we today? What type of soil are we? What kind of place are we for the Word of God? And so as we look at the parable this morning, let's look at the benefits of being good soil. Benefits of being a good hearer, a good host of the gospel, a good place for the seed of the gospel to grow. What are the benefits of that? Well, we take those opportunities that he talks about here of people who have to hear, and we contrast that. The first type of soil that he listed was a soil that's along the path. And seed would fall here, but nothing would happen. It's like walking down the highway and just taking seed and throwing it out. You know, we wouldn't have very successful farmers if that was the plan. We just drive down the road and throw it out the window. What's going to happen? But there's no place for it to grow. There's no place for it to take root. It just lands. And as the seed lands, Jesus talks about it being snatched away. And as you look at verse 19 of Matthew 13, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. When we just leave it laying, when God's word is not active and moving and being a part of our life, when it's just sitting, it's in danger. It's in danger of being taken away. It's in danger of being snatched away and our attention being focused on something else. When we don't seek to understand, we won't understand. When we don't pursue the truth, we don't pursue the gospel, when we don't pursue God's word in our life, it becomes easy then for it to be taken away. Look at verse 53 of the same chapter. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there. And coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogues so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household." And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Here Jesus is in his hometown. He's sharing with them seeds of the kingdom. He's showing them his mighty works. He's showing them the truth of the gospel of what's coming. They don't seek to understand. They don't want to know. They simply, don't we know him? Isn't that his brothers and sisters? He was the carpenter's son, right? We know him. And so instead of pursuing the message and the teaching of the kingdom, the seed has been left lying. The seed is exposed. And as a result, the seed is snatched away. And Jesus did not do many mighty works there. They lost out on the opportunity to know more about Jesus, to know more about the kingdom, to be prepared for the gospel that was coming. It was their loss because they didn't seek to understand. They didn't seek to pursue. The Word of God just lay essentially along the side of the road in their hearts. For us, even after we've become a Christian, we must continue to pursue. We must continue to seek. We must continue to understand. There's so many things in Scripture. There's so many things to know. There's so many things to learn. You can read through the Bible countless times, and every time you'll find something that jumps out at you. You find something that you didn't remember being there. So many lessons. So much great instruction. But if we just ignore it, if it just becomes a spot on a coffee table, or if it just becomes a place in our home where the Bible sits, it's not being active. The soil cannot be as fertile as it needs to be. We need to continue to move forward and continue to seek. So the benefits of being good soil is we're not like the path. The seed doesn't stay exposed. The seed doesn't just sit there. We use it. We seek it. We seek for it to grow more. The benefits of being good soil is different from the rocky soil. The second type of soil that Jesus listed there was the rocky soil. And the problem there, verse 20, was it says, "This is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away." There's no depth. There's no strength. There's no reason to continue. They receive it with joy. Immediately, it sounds good. They hear it. And perhaps they're influenced by others around them who are excited about it too. And so we're all excited together. And let's all accept the gospel. Let's all be what Jesus wants us to be and move forward with God. But then life happens. Then we return to our normal everyday life. The normal temptations. The things that we're used to. And then we get pressed. And we get pushed. And all of a sudden, it's not as exciting as it was. I think this is similar to when people maybe go to a church camp or they go to a revival or they go to somewhere where everybody's worked up into a religious frenzy. And they're in an environment that's not normal. They're in an environment that is not what they're used to and doesn't have their temptations. And it's kind of this little perfect place. And so it's an awesome thing to obey the gospel, yes. But when we get back to our normal lives, if it's not convenient, some people who only saw the emotion of it, they're willing to let it go quickly. It's not as important. The excitement's not there. There's no root that's dug deep to help. It's when storms arise, we need a foundation. When the wind blows, we need our roots to be deep in order to stand strong. Now think of Peter. As Jesus had been arrested, as Jesus was put on trial, and as Peter was curious, and as he made his way there, what happened? You're one of them. I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. No. You're with him. No, that wasn't me. That was somebody else. No. You're one of them because you sound just like him. You're one of them. Three times, what does Peter do? The storm raged in his face, and what did he do? He was shaken. Obviously, with more instruction, and obviously, Peter was willing to let those roots go deep, and he became a great Christian, a great warrior for the gospel. But don't we find ourselves sometimes in those positions where we need those roots deep and entrenched so that when that wind blows, we can stand strong? And we need to keep building that foundation, keep nurturing the soil so that the roots do go deep and that we become what God wants us to be, no matter what the wind does, no matter what the storm does. We're in it for the long haul. The rocky ground is only a short-term solution without the depth for long-term results. The benefits of good soil is having that long-term thinking. The benefits of good soil is unlike the thorns. The thorns were just too busy. There's just too much going on. There's just too much to concentrate on one thing. That thorny path, that thorny soil, it's just too many concerns. Verse 22, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Just too many options. Our society today fills us with options. It fills us with things to do. We got plenty of opportunities for things to be involved in and places to go and things to concern us. It talks about the things that are important. There are plenty of things to chase in our society. And when we get wrapped up into the rat race that is society, we can lose sight of how important it is to nurture our soil, to nurture our hearts, to make sure that we take that time for God and devote that time to Him so that these other concerns don't take away from Him. We look at the importance of having God's Word in our life and not falling victim. The devil can package things to look really good. He can even convince us it's in our best interest. But what really is in our best interest is to have roots that go deep and to have a concern that's focused on one thing. That one thing is living with Him forever. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 talks about a man who once worked with Paul, who was once part of the gospel, who was once very interested in spreading the gospel. But when it talks about Demas in 2 Timothy 4, it says, For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. He fell in love with the world. He fell in love with the options. He fell in love with the different things that were presented and the packages they were presented in. He fell in love with all the noise. Now we're deep into an election season. If there's one thing that we hear, it's noise. We hear all kinds of noise, don't we? We're bombarded with messages on a daily basis. Noise, noise, noise. And it's amazing to watch certain people chase certain bits of that noise. We're just bombarded with all this information. The devil is bombarding us with all these things. And the plan is to just choke us. And specifically to choke the word out of us. It's been successful, hasn't it? Just look at our society. Look at where we are as a people. Look at where we are when it comes to God in our society. Has the devil choked out some of the word? He's choked it quite a bit. As hearers, as soil that is prepared for the kingdom, we need to make sure that we put out distractions and have a focus that is concerned with our eternity, not with just right now. And having a focus that is centered on His Word and what it can do in our lives. The benefits of being good soil is not being short-sighted, but looking forward. And having that one singular focus. The important thing of being good soil is wrapped up there in verse 23, where it talks about producing. When we are what God wants us to be, we produce what comes from Him. We produce what He wants us to produce. What comes from us is what's of Him. Good soil produces well. Good soil produces after the seed that's planted. We are what God wants us to be. We produce what God wants us to produce. We spread His message. We let His message grow. And we share that with others. The benefits of being good soil is becoming the best of what He can make us. As we think about these things this morning, it's important to kind of take a step back. When we generally talk about the parable of sower, it's a spreading the message type of thing. And we talk about the fact that not everybody's going to be receptive. Because not everybody is. Isn't that what Jesus said? When it comes to evangelism, not everybody's going to accept the gospel. It's just simple. Not everybody will. But it's also an opportunity for us to take a step back and re-energize. And reconnect with this parable and make sure that the soil of our heart is still that good soil. It still is receptive. It still is excited about where we're going and what Jesus has to offer as it ever was. To rekindle the flame of the fire of God burning inside of us. Knowing what's at stake. And knowing that our eternity is still in front of us. Perhaps you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel. We want to encourage you to let the seed of the gospel be planted in your heart. And then let that seed grow and become the Christian that God wants you to be. Maybe here this morning, in some of the things of the world, maybe the soul can get contaminated by the messages that are out there. Understand who you can be and what you can be. And what God wants you to be. Have that good soil and let the seed grow deep roots. If you have a need this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?